I hear a Harley rumble down the road and park out front. My father must be home from work early, and I scramble to collect my flashcards before he sees them. He does not approve of my learning magic, much less practicing what I have learned. I stuff the colorful cards and my magic book under the sofa cushions and make busy washing dishes at the kitchen sink. When my papa doesn't park his bike in the backyard for the night, it means he will be going out again after supper, likely to the ornery burrow, and coming home late. There is nothing for supper in the refrigerator. I hope he has remembered to bring something, maybe a flank steak and a couple of peppers to make fajitas. I'm hungry thinking about it. I check to see that we have tortillas and corn and onions. The loud knocking at the front door startles me. Did he forget his keys? Why didn't he go around back? The kitchen door is always unlocked. The rapping on the screen door continues, and I swing open the inside door. It is another motorcycle rider, covered head to foot in dust, his helmet in the crook of his arm. It has hardly rained all month, otherwise he'd be splattered with mud. I see over his shoulder that he also drives a Harley Davidson, but unlike my papa's black Ironhead Sportster, it is a fancy blue and white Electra. I'm not even looking at the guy standing on the porch, and would never be able to pick him out in a lineup. His Harley has orange and black New York license tags. "Excuse me, son," the man says. His accent sounds British. He slaps his leather jacket and Levi's as though that's going to get him undusted. I do not unlatch the screen door. He has wavy dark hair and piercing blue eyes. He's suntanned, but is clearly an Anglo, almost the opposite of my father and me. The guy looks a little bit familiar. Maybe my father brought him home once. "I'm looking for Antonio Morales," he says. "I got directions at the gas station, but maybe I took a wrong turn." "Yeah, maybe you did," I tell him, folding my arms across my chest. "Do you know where Mr. Morales lives, young man?" "Yeah, I do." I decide to let him squirm. He shifts his weight onto his other foot. "Would you mind giving me directions? My name's Fitzgerald McGurk. Call me Fitz. I'm a friend of Mr. Morales." "Oh, brother," I say. "Where'd he meet you? The ornery burrow?" "Where? No. I hooked up with Antonio when he visited New York City on his vacation a couple months back. Do you know where he lives?" "Yeah, I do." "I'm sorry you're in a bad mood, kid, but the sooner you tell me, the sooner I'll be on my way." "He lives here," I announce, "but he's at work. Mind if I come in to wait for him?" "Yeah, I do. My father doesn't like me letting strangers in the house." I say nothing more, hoping the guy goes away. "Okay, I get it, kiddo. Vampires and devils can only get in if you invite them, and you don't ever want to grant them power over you by revealing your name to them. Only one thing wrong with that." "What's that?" I ask. "I'm just an ordinary man. Well, almost ordinary. Like you, I know a little magic, that's all." "How do you know what I can do, mister?" "The name's Fitz, remember? It takes one to know one. My grandma began showing me things when I was about 10 years old. It helps to have a teacher, Jose." I draw closer to the screen door to get a better look at him. I think his smile could easily bewitch someone. Did he bewitch my papa? "No, I didn't bewitch anyone. I'll wait for Antonio out here on the porch then, if I may." "Okay by me. Suit yourself." I head back to the kitchen, but turn to have another look at the guy. He knew what I was thinking. I don't remember telling him my name, either. Fitz sets his helmet over the finial of the handrail and plunks himself down in one of the rockers. He puts his feet and their dusty boots on the porch railing, just like my papa does. My legs don't quite reach yet.